Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, we are now well into the beginning of this beautiful season of Easter, a time when the Church sets aside 50 days by which to consider the meaning of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power and the promise that it offers to us. Of course, it is at the very heart of our identity as Christians that in proclaiming Jesus as the risen Lord, we make that fundamental assertion of who Christ is and who we are as his disciples. So I should like to dwell a little on actually living the life of the risen Lord. I often ask young people, especially at my confirmation ceremonies, what does it mean for us to say that Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and rose to new life, what does it mean when we say he is our Lord? One of the things that interests me, and I find almost surprising every time I read of it, is the transformation of the disciples, those who had been called early on in the ministry of Jesus, who spent nearly 3 years with Jesus, watching, listening, questioning, and who, in fact, in the crucial 3 days of the suffering and death of Jesus and the resurrection, seemed to fall apart under the stress of that occasion. They had been filled with some doubts, a great deal of fear, some very, very sad misunderstandings. And in many of the appearances of the risen Lord to his disciples, we find that the disciples had gathered in a room, locked the door. They were still filled with fear and with a little anxiety over what all of this could mean. And suddenly our Lord simply appears before them, establishing his authentic identity as that Jesus who was with them throughout those 3 years. It is Jesus who suffered and died and now risen in a glorified body. It is Jesus that breathes out the Spirit upon them and offering that gift of peace. And suddenly, we find these disciples who had once cowered in fear in that upper room out in the middle of the streets of Jerusalem boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ risen and present among us. We often ask ourselves, what happened to these individuals? Of course, there was the great gift of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate at Pentecost that filled them not only with the power to preach the word, with the knowledge and understanding of it, but with a profound courage with which they did this. But we have to remember that the scene in Pentecost was not the first time that the Spirit was breathed out upon them. Our Lord, in his first appearance to the disciples, as we heard in the Gospel of John, breathed out that Spirit when he was among them, offering that gift of peace, offering the gift of forgiveness of sins and renewal of life, and offering a profound faith in the power of the message of the resurrection. These disciples then began a lifetime of giving witness to the Lord. And as we celebrate this Easter season, you may realize that in almost all of the Masses offered during the Easter season, There are two books of the New Testament that are prominent and from which the Church draws most of its scriptural readings, the Gospel of John and the Acts of the Apostles. And these two books of the New Testament are read and considered and meditated upon because they raise two fundamental questions. The first question is, do we know who Jesus Christ is? Do we know this Christ who is risen from the dead and is present to us in his word and sacraments and in that power of the risen Lord? The second question asked is, are we living that reality? And it is to that second question that we read of the lives of the earliest disciples in the Acts of the Apostles, how that first church lived the reality of the presence of the Lord. For it is in the preaching of these disciples, in their manner of living together as a community, that they could boldly proclaim that Jesus was present among them in his spirit through every time and every place. He was there. I think of that marvelous scene early on in the Acts of the Apostles when Peter and John pass by a lame beggar asking for alms. And Peter approached him and said to him, I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have I will give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk. Of course, Peter pronounced that not in his own name, but in the name of Jesus Christ, whose ministry can be continued through his body, which is the church. And this powerful and courageous way of speaking began to attract more and more people who, I suspect, longed for that word of power, that word of divine authority. And it was not only through the proclamation of the word that the disciples, I think, really indicated the power of the coming of the kingdom, the power of Jesus Christ. It was also through the example of the way in which they lived, individually and as a community. When we gathered for Mass on the second Sunday of Easter, or often called Mercy Sunday, we heard from the beginning chapters of the Acts of the Apostles a description, perhaps a little romanticized, but a description of how the early church actually lived. And the first line of that reading from Mass said that the community was of one heart and one mind. That is, it exemplified that unity of all believers, that unity that drew them into a single body that we could call the body of Christ, the very church. And it was how they lived together, how they hoped, how they worked, that allowed them to preach from the very example of their lives. So as we continue in our celebration of the Easter season, we need to ask ourselves, am I living the kind of life that is an actual proclamation of the power of the risen Lord? Who is this Jesus Christ? We remember that he is often referred to as the Word of God. God's meaning, God's purpose for us, spoken into our history. So that we look very carefully at what Jesus did and how he spoke. For the whole of the ministry of Jesus is encapsulated in a series of words and deeds. The deeds are explained by the words. The words create the great power from what is done in their name. So we need to know this Jesus Christ, and we need to know him present. Isn't that really one of the most important gifts of the Holy Spirit, offered in our baptism and in our confirmation? To allow us to understand how Jesus is present among us. And the first responsibility, as it were, of the Holy Spirit is to draw us closer to that person of Christ. But understanding who this Jesus is, we come to understand how he continues to work in the world, and especially through that community of disciples we know as the church. Being of one mind and one heart, we exemplify that sense of a new and imperishable dignity given to our renewed humanity through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We live as a community that has a future that stretches into eternity. And we need to ask ourselves, how often do people see that within us, in our own individual lives, in our life as a community? Oh, we may, as the early disciples discovered, be living as strangers in a strange land. But through all of this, we want to teach people by how we live that our true homeland lies with that eternity spent in the presence of God. It is heaven that is our true homeland. But even now, in the places where we are, in the time in which we live, that true homeland can emerge in our present world. It is a reality that is not yet perfect, but it is nonetheless true. For living as strangers in a strange land, we may teach others their true homeland, and even now on this earth, provide the means by which that true homeland can be reflected and shed its power and glory upon us. We rejoice in this Easter season by remembering the resurrection and ascension of our Lord. And in our rejoicing, we have to realize that at the same time, we should know the impulse that was shared by all of the early disciples to share the gift with others. Because our eternal life, our immortal souls, are at stake, and how important it is to be able to offer the world about us a remedy for their misunderstanding, for maybe the darkness of their minds or the hardness of their hearts, to offer a remedy that will give them the peace that our Lord breathed out first upon his disciples on that Easter Sunday.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.